Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 246, part 2, the conclusion to Wait. Today is Sunday, June 3rd, 2012.
Oh, happy day. Thank you. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Probably about 65 years old, and her husband was sitting back there, dignified and mean, in his big car, and they blew their horn. Blap! I looked up there real quick, and I thought, oh, they're probably in a hurry, and I was trying to be real nice and peaceful, you know. Probably late for church. They're just going to have to learn how to wait on the Lord! That's about all we're worth sometimes, isn't it? When it comes to our peace and when it comes to our mercy, I had to be reminded, I gave you peace and I gave you mercy. Say you're sorry. It takes you a few minutes to say that, though, doesn't it? God, forgive me for not using that which you gave to me. Now, you don't fall into a great big condemnation thing.
Oh, God. Oh, I failed again. Oh, I failed. Congregation.
Has anyone got a testimony?
Yes. This morning, a person beeped their horn behind me, and I didn't show any grace, and I didn't show any mercy, and I got mad.
Why are they crying? They failed themselves. They went the whole week, and then on the way to church, I wasn't mad all week on the way to church, I blew it. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Yeah, and sometimes people think they're above having a trial. Okay, that's one too many trials for me, Lord. I'm taking off. I'm getting out of this ministry. Well, who are you that not have a... Are you something special? Well, you know what I mean. I get dumped on all the time. Well, you're looking at the dumping station right here, folks. I mean, you know what I mean? I can't take it no more. I can't stand it. Are we above being shamed or being slandered or being hurt or being wounded? Jesus was wounded. Jesus had to wait. He had to wait in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he even had to wait upon the cross. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? What's the wait about? Finally, he said, it is finished. What? It's God's time. It's always God's time. Remember that old show? Oh, you won't remember it. I won't sing it. Oh, maybe you will. My time is your time. My time is your time. Rudy Valley? I wonder if that really was true. Oh, I wholeheartedly know it was not true. His time wasn't anybody's time. His time was his own. Oh, how we need to become artful in seeing spiritual things, and then most important, to wait on them, to see them ahead of time by according to the scripture, and then learn how to wait. I'm not talking about waiting until 3 o'clock the next day or that same day. I'm talking about giving it to God and say, Lord, I wait upon thee only. Oh, the priceless blessings, I said, we have, the justification. Praise God that the Bible says, God has given us the covenant of grace. God doesn't take back things. He gives them. See, we can never obtain them ourselves. And so he does this, it says in the Word of God, by the counsel of his own good will. In other words, it's saying God's will is willing. I mean, what better counsel could God get? Don't worry too much about the counsel of men. We're the counsel of churches. We're the counsel of government. Or for that matter, a lot of times, the counsel of friends. Sometimes we give the wrong counsel because we become melancholy and we don't want to tell the truth. No, I think sometimes when you smell a rat, you got to call it just like what it is. The Bible says the Spirit blows where He will. We are born of what? Born of His Spirit. Bible says our new life comes from above, comes from God. And of course it says it is to be sustained by God eternally. And that's where the argument comes in. After we're saved, we want to sustain by ourselves. Can a dead church quicken itself? Can a leopard, the Bible says, change its spots? No. The Bible says, listen, radio audience, ye must be born again. You can't be born by your own hand. Can you make, the Bible says, a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Except it says in the Bible, a man be born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, how we need to preach the glorious gospel message. Because the new heart and the right spirit, where do they come from? And even after we're saved, when we change our spirit, where did that come from? Did we decide to change it? No, we waited on the Lord. Lord, change me. I mean, can a carnal mind, which the Bible says it is at enmity, hates God, is what it's saying. enmity against God, fellowship with God? No, we are absolutely, positively dependent on God, not only for all of our spiritual gifts, and so much is said about spiritual gifts. God gives severally to whomsoever he will. See, there is a flow of the Spirit. You don't get up and advertise. So-and-so is coming to town. Well, so is Santa Claus. That's a myth. And so are a lot of posters that come. So-and-so is coming to town. They have this gift and that gift, and look for a great big explosion to happen. Why? Are they going to blow their cover? What do you mean explosion? Unless it God gives it rain, it isn't going to happen, folks. And I don't care. I think there is so much off-preaching in this, and they advertise, you hear it on the radio all the time. Oh, so-and-so is coming. Big guns is coming. Got their hat back, and they got their spiritual guns ready, and they got their spurs. Spurs are jingling, you know. They'll drive in with a Cadillac with a great big steer's horn on the front of it, you know. Get ready for a move of God. Sometimes I wonder what God they are talking about. You know what a move of God is? Is when you get spiritualized and you see what's right before you, the blessings that are before you, his justification and his mercy and his forgiveness, and you start to praise God and you get so excited about what God has done for you in the annals of eternity and saving you and filling you and all this. You say, oh God, I am so full. I don't need anything more for myself. I don't need another spiritual meeting. I need to go out and meet you. Where are you going to meet Jesus? Sitting with sinners. Well, I sure felt a move of this Spirit in there. But what Spirit? It's like I said Friday night. Biggest blessing happened to me the other day. I was downstairs and there was a little boy down there. His eyes were full of matter. He wasn't taking care of all that good. He's about 5 years old and his eyes were full of this sort of a sick matter in here, you know. Not that that couldn't happen to a rich kid too, but his eyes were all full of this matter and his little blonde head was all matted here with his hair and everything and his snot. Can I use that word or is that too gross? Is that too gross? I want to give you a tape I made several years ago if you want to get it. It said, let's all have a good snotter. That's when you cry and the snot drips and the tears flow and your hair hangs and you look ugly and you're all puffed up and your face is all red and swollen and your lips are quivering and your cheeks are quivering and you're just ready to fall apart. That's where God wants you sometimes. And so I looked at this kid and that was my thought. Oh, man, he's got snot running out of his nose. And he's got matter under his eyes, and his hair is all matted. And he's got a tennis shoe that's all turned over, and oh, my Lord, the shoes are on the wrong feet. And you know what he called out? Pastor Paul! He put his little arms out like this. I mentioned this Friday night. I think it's important to mention things over again, especially when they're a blessing. Yeah, we mentioned if we got $1 million, you'd mention it morning, noon, and night. Oh, was I ever blessed? Okay, let's hear your blessing. And then we're all trying to show what blessing. I got 50 thou. What'd you get? Oh, I got 60 thou. I got 1 million. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to attain that kind of faith one day. You wait, see. I think I'm going to invest that 50 thou in God. Well, maybe 25, half. Huh? So here's his blessing. This little kid with the turned shoes pointing both ways but straight ahead. The snot running from his nose and the matter in his eyes and the matted hair and the stink lifting up his little arms like this and saying, Pastor Paul, and that was the biggest blessing I had had in the whole year of my ministry. Ah, so much fun just to be part of that. God, we can get to looking at church and you can get to looking at seats and empty balconies and all that and miss it. 35,000 people are dealt with in the ministry. And praise God, God has grace, has caused it to rain food down upon this ministry. I'm talking about right now, we're getting ready for another maybe 25, 30,000 pounds of ground round to come in. We're talking about groceries flooding this place. What an opportunity to minister the gospel in its reality. What you see always is not what you get. The world says what you see is what you get. Say amen, somebody. Path or Paul! And then you look all over. Where's that voice coming from? And all these other little kids. Over there, over there, over there!
Oh, Pastor Paul, it seems to me I've heard you on the radio, and I'll tell you what, it sounds to me as if you are not really sometimes as serious as you might ought to be. I think probably that I'm going to send you a tape so that you can pronounce and make better enunciation and have a better delivery. Yes.
My brother, it sounds to me like you need a Rolaid. That's what I think about a lot of times our Christianity needs a Rolaid. Something to get them rolling. Praise God that God is willing. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, is there any hope in the hearts that God didn't give you? Where do you get hope from? From God. God implants that in your heart. It's an implant. I saw a thing on TV talking about implants, and they're taking the little fetus, and they're freezing. It showed a little teeny, like, I guess it would be like a few weeks, a little tadpole, like a little baby hanging in there that was frozen, and now they're going to take out, they're thinking of taking out hearts and so on like that, and they can grow these in the person's substance somehow, and the heart and the kidneys and so on are so naive. May I use that term? That they, it's be like that story about the eagle and the duck. And that will grow perfectly in that body's substance because it's just, it's, well, it doesn't know any better. It just takes it on as its body. Isn't that kind of gruesome? What does it say in the Bible about in the end? What does it talk about? An accursed children. Boy, we are getting ready so close for the hand of God to move right now. We're even going to start to make some kind of hair stuff for it so men can grow hair. I mean, is there any faith that God did not impart? I believe our spiritual life is totally dependent. We are dependent on Him, and yet we are so rebellious against Him at times. Don't you see where we should be grateful? Ministering again to you unsaved, won't you come to Jesus right now? And you know, another point I have to make here before I close this message. Men may be reduced to dire distress. Have you ever been that way in your life? Men who are totally dependent upon God may be reduced to dire distress if they disobey Him. I know if I would have taken my old body out of here and moved out of here and disobey God, I would have been brought to dire distress. Where could I go where I would not be distressed in my spirit about copping out? Listen to this scripture. In the scripture, it said that men had temporal distress. People had no water. The royal ranks, it said, felt the pinch, and the total city thirsted after water, and a search for water was made, and the upper pools of Siloam and the bottom pools, the lower pools, were dry. And they searched again and again and again. And don't we go over that? We go back to the same old thing again and again, thirsting after something that isn't there, but no water. The Bible says they were driven to despair. It says they covered their heads as men who gave themselves up to die without hope. God had sent this punishment on the people because of their sin. And I think the grossest sin that we can ever do is not to obey God in what He's given us to do. Where were you with the talents when I needed you? I gave you food and I gave you mercy and I gave you grace and I gave you understanding. I gave you all those things. Where were you when I was a naked? Where were you when I was a hungering and a thirsting and I was a widowed and in prison? So many times we want something. I thought about it the other day. I said, I think people should remember this. I talk to myself a lot because I'm alone, you know. Not the worst company, not the best. Could use a lot of improvement, as a matter of fact. And I thought, I said, self said, go ahead. Speak freely. Well, at least I don't get lonesome. Self, I said, remember this. We always get what we want, but then we get what goes with it, too. You've got a mission. You're going to get what goes with a mission. Suffering. Yeah, but I said, I interrupted the first self to talk to the second self. First the suffering and then the joy. No, I forgot that. Good point. And also I said to second self, it builds character. Well, you don't need to build too much more, first self said to second self. You're a big enough character as it is. Do you ever reason with yourself? Oh, I think that's so good to reason with yourself. To think before you speak. To count the blessings of God before you count this happened and that happened. Oh my God, what's it ever going to end? When you die. And then comes a judgment. Oh, no. When we die and we're born again Christians, we have to confess our sins? No, sin has been covered. You'll be judged on the way you gave away love, God, the greatest gift that you have. You know the gift that you have? The gift of life, Jesus Christ. How did you give away what kind of a witness were you? Well, then will we go to hell? No. But you might get into heaven with one hair on your head and smoking tennis shoes and diapers. Yet you shall be saved, the Bible says. Whew, I hear someone say. Then I hear the legalist on there. I'm going to give him a call. Well, go ahead. It's all right. At least I know you're listening, causing some kind of a reaction. Doesn't giving people life cause a reaction? How many are hearing this message again? Let me close it. But anyway, they they searched again and again and again, and they went to the high pool and the low pool of Siloam, and they couldn't find it. Oh, my. And they gave themselves up, and they gave up their hope, and it says they covered their heads. And so many walk about right now with a drought in their souls, no hope in their souls. They have lost faith in the world. People are hungering and thirsting out there, and they see no hope. People out there are hungering and thirsting after living water, and there seems to be no hope. You know, a lot of times, saved people, they have a downtime, and they think they're in a downtime. They look at the world, and they say, oh, they wouldn't believe me if I ministered the gospel. They have nothing. They are totally barren. They have no hope. Haven't you seen the thirsty ones out there? Haven't you pitied them? And now is the time to lead people to Jesus Christ, the living water, like never before. Our world is a mess. It's a dry time. And so God is humbling the proud ones. It says, their nobles sent forth their little ones to the waters, sons and daughters. Can't you see those?
I'll go, Daddy, I'll go. I know this, Dad, I know. No, but I'm not talking about the high pool or the low pool. There's another spot I know about. One time I was playing with a little spot up there, and I know where it's at, I know where it's at.
Oh, go ahead, just get out. Go look for the water. It says they sent their sons and their daughters. God knows how to humble people. And some of the nobles' children thought they knew the secret supplies where there was more water. But they also were empty. And so they resorted to a secondary measure. Like souls, when they are awakened, they go to 50 other things before they come to God. 50 other things. They're brought alive, and their spirit is alive, and it's ready for the seed, and it's ready for the water. And no, let's try this, let's try that. That was just sort of a little thing there, you know. I don't know. I got emotional for a second there. So they try superstition. Now you can call on the phone and you can talk to Dorothy Dixonite, or I forget what her name is. Superstition, or claiming or quoting scriptures, demanding action from God. According to your word. Ooh, doesn't that look silly? How'd you like to have your kid come and do that? You said supper was going to be ready. I command that it's ready in 30 seconds. And they stand there like a couple of farm dogs waiting for a gravy train bowl. And they try ceremonies, and they go to churches where they give them ceremonies. And somebody's swinging a smoking lantern. What does that mean? Or somebody with great big tall hats. Huge, I mean, you know, that's why the archways are so big. It's got these hats on. And they'll walk down the aisle with curtains and things like these, poster thing, hanging down on poles. Very soft. Everybody getting stepped now. Left. Right. Left. Look real solemn. And everybody stands there. No one breathes. Why not? What is it? Does it have any life to it? Does it? Maybe I make you angry by the way I preach, but let me tell you something. If Jesus isn't in it, it's nothing. If the cross and the blood are not mentioned, it means nothing. And they can walk and look as pious as they want to, light a million candles. They can do all of that, but it means nothing. They can get up and quote liturgy. It means nothing. No, God is the only one that sends the rain, and God is the only one that gives the grace, and God is the only one that gives you any hope. There is no hope outside of God. And so they tried self-denials, maybe. They deny themselves. Okay, New Year's Eve, huh? I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to be a new person. Oh, what do Christians say? I think I'll be born again. Now they're using that term all the time. A guy plays football and he catches better that day. Well, I feel like I'm born again. See, we've made such a joke out of this. Isn't that terrible? And the Bible says you must be born again. Well, I know, I'll get into good works. Oh, no, I'll work my way into heaven. Give me a work card. And they roam all over looking for living water, but come home dry. You know what I mean, dry? Has your throat ever been dry? And then someone gives you some saltine crackers and you eat a half a box of them, and then you stuff some cotton wads in there and really get all the moisture out, and your lips are dry and they're cracked and you can hardly talk. I'm talking dry. And so it goes on, the story goes on, and it says they were disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed by all of the worldly things out there? You're listening on the radio. Have you tried all of those things? Have you tried superstition? Have you tried worldly churches and ceremonies and self-denials and good works and all these things? And you come right back home. You come right back down to it. And it says that they were disappointed. They came to the pits, it says, and they found no water. And I wonder if they get that modern day saying, oh, the world quotes scriptures all the time and don't even know it. That's the pits. And they came and they found no water. You know what they found? They found mud. Filthy mud, but no water. And disappointed, the Bible says, they returned with empty vessels. I believe it's an awful thing to leave church an empty vessel. I believe it's an awful thing to come to the water and not drink. I think it's an awful thing for a preacher to preach a gospel message and not offer a drink at the end. Bring him right up to the well and say, dismissed. And so with this disappointment, there followed great confusion of mind. Sometimes when we're disappointed, we become confused in our minds. We can't get it together and we make irrational moves, and well, we'll try buying this and we'll try buying that. We'll try to make ourselves happy and we'll try to block that bad thing out of our life. And oh God, I just want to run away from this thing. Oh, get it out of my mind. You can't get it out of your mind. Those old ghosts will follow you around until you learn how to wait on the Lord. And so they had Bible says, a great confusion of mind. They became distracted. Have you ever become distracted and you're on your job and you can't get it together because of some kind of traumatic experience and you just, I'm just not with it today. Did that ever happen to you? Happens to me. Ever happened to you? You're down there, with these making tips and doing things like that, or, you know, carpentry work or something like that, you know? And you say, and you overlap the board the wrong way. Instead of putting it under there, you put it next to it and nail it. And say, well, why did I do that dumb thing? What's wrong? You become distracted. Did it ever happen to you, Jim? You get all done, and then you've left something out of the engine because of some distraction in our mind or some hurry-up thing that we did. Do you ever drive by? You're going someplace and you drive by, you're distracted, and you take the wrong ramp and you keep, well, I went the wrong way. So you take the loop and you find yourself making the same mistake and make the loop again? What am I doing? Now this time I'm going to make the right loop, and you make the same mistake again, you find yourself in Mexico? Well, if you live in California, you know what I'm talking about. You missed a turn off there. Chihuahua. No, they covered their heads. It says they were ashamed and confounded. And oh, how many people are sitting right now with their heads covered up and some lonesome godforsaken place where their heads covered up and they're lonesome. They look for the water in the wrong place. They went to the well without water. And so they couldn't face it. And like people who say, I give up. I'll never be saved. See, God here has used their despair. I've tried everything now. And so they say, therefore, a conclusion is being made. Therefore, we will wait upon thee. Next, it seemed like when they were in despair, everything about them seemed to be in unison with their ministry. Misery. The third and the fourth verse, and listen to it, are the same. They covered their heads. The earth, I believe, most times is in sympathy with man. When God makes us happy, it says, we go forth with joy and are led forth by peace. It says the mountains and the hills break forth before us with singing, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. Well, when does that usually happen? When we notice our blessings. Oh, isn't that a beautiful tree, and isn't this a beautiful thing? And it's all going to work out. I'm not going to cover up my head. I'm just going to wait on the Lord in this old dry time. I'm going to work on through it, and God is going to cause something to happen in my life according to His Word. And whenever it happens, it happens. Nature without many times reflects the echoes, I believe, of our inward feelings. Sometimes when you're sad and you're down and you take that sad, down feeling into a room, the dogs get down. The furniture gets down. Oh, come on now. Well, it doesn't look as good, does it? Doesn't the pillows don't look as puffy and as nice. Your surroundings don't look as nice. That great big turkey in there looks like a great big greasy bird. Do any of our surroundings? Now, but when the inward part is right, ooh, you go to the icebox and you count your blessings. Turkey, ooh, I'm going to have myself a turkey sandwich, and you start slicing this off, this turkey, huh? Praise God. Ooh, where's the buns at? Ooh, look at this nice bun. But when you're down, you go slice some turkey off, and you open up, oh, buns, and you put it in there, and you got dry mouth. I don't care where you go. Riches is not going to bring you any kind of happiness. See, it's an inward joy that you got to have. I don't care where you go. It's counting your blessings where you're at, and it's standing right there having done all in a dry time that's really going to bring you a joy that's grown up. What is it? Well, it's peace. It's peace that's, you know, it's lit up joy is really peace of mind. And next, anyway, it seemed like when they were in despair, everything I said about them seemed like it was tuned in unison with their misery. Doesn't all nature echo your misery when you're in misery? Don't you just go walk by the tree that you just had said, oh God, this is such a beautiful tree. Thank you, Lord. And you go out into your yard and you look at that tree. It's just a tree. So the tree just sort of hangs down. And the plants in your house sort of hang down. Oh, hey, I'm not a nut. I'm just telling you the way it is. The plants hang down. You learn those things when you're by yourself. And the plants hang down and the tree hang down. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Mm-hmm. And your car doesn't look as good. You get in the car. It was a brand new car. And you turn the key. Boom! It still starts and it still obeys and everything because you're still the master. But it doesn't seem like it's got that. You don't hear the frrr, frrr. You don't hear all of them six cylinders. Frrr. You don't feel that power in there. and you pass somebody and you just, before you felt that, it's like riding a motorcycle. I remember years ago, I used to love to jump on the motorcycle and this and I used to love to wheel out of the driveway, you know, and feel that power under the seat of my pants, you know what I mean? To shake your legs and vibrate all up your backbone and everything, you know. But boy, when you're despondent and you're in despair, and there's a whole lot of things that have crept into your life, you're just riding a motorcycle. But when you're right with the world and you go out and the sun is up and like you're going to take this trip and go down to the south someplace, aren't you? On your motorcycle, when everything is in tune. You tune up your motorcycle, how about tuning up ourselves? I'm just using you. But you tune up yourself. And you know how you tune up yourself? By waiting on the Lord. Don't wait for that trip. Don't wait to, like you're going on a trip. Don't wait for that trip. It starts right now. Start waiting on the Lord right now. See, that's the only thing that's going to bring any kind of joy. A joy, a grown-up joy, is a peace that's gained by asking and waiting for it to come. Let me close. Even the ground is in despair. You go out and you look at the farmers out here now, and you look at those houses without anybody in them, and you look at those tractors sitting over there, and you look at the cattle, and you look at everything that's on that farm. If that farmer is in despair, even the cows' heads are hanging down, and the ba-ba sheep isn't baying very good. Ba. It's not... Bah! It's not moo. It's not bruk, 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 bruk. It's bruk, 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 laying on its side, see. There's no happy hen house anymore. You go in there and the farmer goes in, and the chickens just sort of go, what's next for us, Colonel Sanders? And the cows say, the dairy cows say, the dairy cows say, what's next for us? Government beef? Ground round? No, there's not a lot of joy on the farms because the farmer isn't joyful. And what we have to learn, farmers, all of us, huh? We all have to learn that we have to wait on the Lord. Don't wait on the banks and don't wait on all of these institutions, these insurance companies and these fraudulent banks and these fraudulent insurance companies and all this high money, high power junk. Wait on the Lord. Unless God causes a rain to come, farmer, don't you worry about it. They can bring in tanks to pull plows a mile apart. If there's no rain, there isn't going to be any harvest. None whatsoever, because the earth is dismayed. Despair. I remember sitting in my cell in despair. Oh, how terrible despair is. Now, I'm not talking about just being depressed. You can be depressed. God, I'm down today. I don't know what's going on. I'm just down. I'm talking about in distress. Like a ship that's in distress. SOS. Talking about despair. The Hebrew puts it like this. The very earth is frightened for lack of rain and opens its mouth gasping for fear. The earth is crying out. It says the ground is dismayed for there is no rain in the earth, and the plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. I remember before I was saved, I was in despair. I was dry and I was ashamed, and I covered my head with my own miserable coverings, booze and pills and Work. What a blanket. Our only refuge, in closing here, is God. And you listening on the radio, maybe you're in despair. Maybe you're even thinking of committing suicide. Come to Jesus. Get your mind off your miserable self and get it on somebody else's misery. Further, I believe there's nowhere any kind of help for these people, it says in verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Can the heathen rainmakers bang hard enough on their drums to make rain come? Can the airplanes flying over with their salt solutions cause any kind of rain to come? No, they can cause some kind of a salt powder to drop on the ground. Can the priests of Baal scream loud enough to change God's mind? According to the text then, there is no help for us, even in the usual means of grace is forgotten. And so here it is. Can the heavens give showers? Showers that come from heaven that God controls. When we repent, you listening on the radio, not born again, when we repent, when we give up, when we stop seeking every other way, then God moves. Church, if you're listening to me today, the body of Christ, when we stop seeking all these other ways, these prosperity teachings, these hyper-faith teachings, and we get back to seeking the God of the universe, and we start preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, when we start to be that light, that city set on a hill, when we start to be those that aren't ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and will minister the simple, which after all is not so simple, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. When we start to do that, radio audience, when we start to do that, preacher, when we start to listen to what the Lord is saying about the sick and the lame and all of these things that God portions for us to do, if we start to listen to that, you're going to see a move of people confessing to sin and say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I am a sinner. When the Bible says, behold how the Christians love one another, then they're going to be persuaded. I think there's not a lot of persuasion out there because there's not a lot of love in the Christian body right now. Verse 20, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness, for we have sinned against thee. Make a clean breast of it. Confess your sin. You want to get rid of something in your life? Well, then put it out there where everybody can see it and say, here's my sin. And then God deals with it and the devil can't play with you. And then it's dead. See, because if you conceal your sin, you listening on the radio, you ruin yourself. If you confess your sin, the Bible says you'll find mercy. Unlimited. There's no limit to God's mercy. He'll go on giving you mercy as long as you need it, and you're going to need mercy as long. Legalists, are you hearing me on the radio? You that are going to call right after that God can save you eternally and he'll never cast you out, never. I want you to hear this. Once that you receive mercy and you come under the covenant covering of mercy, God will in no wise take that mercy away. His mercy endureth for what?
There you have it. That was the conclusion of episode 246. That was part two, To Wait. Be sure to join Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Now, throughout the last few weeks, we've had some computer problems, and so that is the only reason why Pastor Paul's podcast has not been up and running. Other than that, if you go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, there are 246 episodes, part one and two of a lot of them. You'll be able to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. We should have these computer issues resolved in the near future. Have a great week. Be sure to check out next Friday. We should be here for your testimony. Keep us in prayer. God bless you.
beautiful day.